Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 27th, 2011, episode 237, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Today is it? Tell me.
It's Tuesday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. Beautiful, beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Well, I hope it's going to be a beautiful day today because I've got my door open and it's telling me that it is 79 degrees here at 6 o'clock in the morning in Phoenix. So that's actually really balmy. So I've got my door, my French doors are right to my right of my studio here, and I've got them open into the backyard. And so far this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning Phoenix time, everything in the neighborhood is hungry. So I keep hearing my neighbors' roosters and their horses and the donkeys are braying. It's a menagerie in my neighborhood. So if you hear anything, that is just me with my door open. So far, yeah, it's been very loud, very musical to me this morning. Have you heard anything, Glenn?
No, we haven't heard anything on your microphone yet. I think you're good. So the neighbors have donkeys?
My neighbor across the way and down one, so like a catty corner to us, has four donkeys. Not mules, they're donkeys. And they're like, you know, the dark brown donkeys with the little light brown eyes. Oh, my gosh, they're still so stinking cute. And every time you ride by them, they gallop and they buck and they just get so excited. So, yes, we have donkeys next door. And that reminds me of a story that's happening right now in a small Bulgarian town. It's the Black Sea city of Varna. Have I told you about this yet, Glenn?
No, you haven't.
Okay. Well, in this small Bulgarian town, Marco has been nominated to run for mayor. It's a new political party called the Society for New Bulgaria. And Marco has been nominated, and lots of voters in this small Bulgarian town are planning to go out and vote for Marco. Marco is a donkey running for mayor.
Well, finally, you can feel good about voting for an ass, Jamie. We do that on a regular basis.
Exactly. It's not hiding anything. Yes, this is a real story. I think it came off Horse and Hound. Voters in a Bulgarian town can say nay to human politics and instead vote for an equine in their upcoming local body elections. A donkey named Marco is reportedly joining the race for mayor in Varna. The incumbent mayor, Kirill Yordanov, has reportedly refused to share a platform with Marco, so there will be no live debating. But this is funny. They say that Marco has promised to have a positive campaign. No mudslinging. No poop throwing.
I wonder if he's going to win. He'll probably win,
God.
Too.
Can
you
imagine?
Talk to your neighbors about having one of their donkeys run for mayor of Phoenix.
There are already plenty of asses in Phoenix that are, you know, in charge. So I'm not gonna suggest anything to that nature. But it's definitely gonna be very. It's gonna be an interesting mayoral race in new. The Black Sea city of Varna in Bulgaria. We'll keep you up to date.
Hey, Jennifer.
We'll keep you the live election.
Can you call over there and find out if Marco speaks English so we can get him on the show?
Well, I'm sure we can probably find a translator. We'll be okay. Yeah, I'll contact them right away. I'll call the headquarters of the Society for New Bulgaria. They probably have a Facebook page.
Probably do. Marco has a Facebook page, probably. I'm going to look for that while Jennifer tells us what's on today's show.
On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we continue the seemingly endless vacation adventure stories with tourist trail ride guide extraordinaire Chance from Walden Creek Stables in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We're going to get a report on Glenn's riding style and skill. And much like the Odyssey, the adventure continues, like it or not, with the much-anticipated return of Horse and Country TV and the latest and greatest headlines, news stories, and hilarious videos. So stay tuned.
Well, Jennifer, if you get that book, if you book Marco, I'll give you a raise. And if he speaks English, I'll even give you more of a raise.
Yeah, I bet.
No, I've been doing some searches on Facebook, and so far there is a Mary the Donkey, and there is a Mark the Monkey, but there is no Marco the Donkey, so not quite yet.
That's funny. Well, my daily winning today goes out to Templeton Thompson, our good friend and cowgirl. Happy birthday, Templeton. It was her birthday yesterday. I had so many other birthdays, I couldn't get to it, but I figured Templeton wouldn't care if we were a day late. So happy birthday, Templeton. If you're listening out there, we love you, and we hope you're singing your little heart out. We're all waiting for your new CD. So we're over here waiting patiently, or not so patiently, if the case may be. Do you have one?
Yeah. When have you not known me to have a daily Winnie? I mean, it's every day.
True.
It's daily, almost. So do you remember the pony Ruby? Ruby was the little white pony that was being led around by the somewhat homeless-looking gentleman over in Europe, and he would take the pony on the train. He would take the pony. I remember he took him into a bar, took this little mare into a bar. She's 12'2", so she's very, very small. And he wasn't really arrested, but the mare was taken away from him and sent to someone else. Well, it turns out that she was pregnant. And she has now had her foal. She's a Section A Welsh pony named Ruby, and she has just given birth to a healthy colt who looks like a paint. So I don't know who the daddy is. I'm sure not many people know who the baby daddy is, but she has been living with the RSPCA since she was taken away from the traveler, they're calling him, Joe Purcell, who is 68 years old and in England.
Hey, that is a cute stinking baby.
Yeah, we need to post that that picture. Again, I think it's
yeah,
the horse and hound.
Baby.
So.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. A happy ending for Ruby. Hopefully Ruby and the baby will find a home soon. And won't be living there anymore. They'll find a home. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted a couple things we needed to cover here, some housekeeping stuff. The winners of the saddle pads from a couple of weeks ago, we're working on them now. It's taking us a little longer than expected to get them all embroidered and all that stuff. We haven't forgotten about you. So we are working on the saddle pads. So hang in there for that. Also,
saddle pads. I need mine by October. Let me see the date here. If you could give them a call, I need it by the October 14th because I just, with all the craziness of entering my horse in beginner novice, I'm moving him up a level. And he's going to Sonoyta, Arizona to Grass Ridge Horse Trials in the novice division on October 14th. I sent in my entry yesterday, and I almost threw up when I put it in the mailbox.
Okay, so one question mine. Why?
Well, it's not the jumps that are a problem for him, Glenn. It's the warm-up. He just tries to buck me off in the warm-up. It's not like it's anything jump-related. But, yeah, so we're moving up a level because we finished fifth place. And
so what happens in the dressage test at this level? What's different?
It's pretty much the same. I think you pretty much go in and turn left instead of right. So maybe the little mix-up will confuse him enough to have him not buck me off during the right lead canter transition. But I need my pad so I can look sponsored.
Okay. All right. We'll work on that. We also wanted to say that Really Bad Ads are this Friday, where they're back. So we need you to get your ads in. Send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. If you're new to the show, we do a segment every Friday called Really Bad Ads, where we highlight the really bad ads that are submitted to Craigslist and other places. They could be misspellings, or they just don't really help you sell whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a horse or a carriage or a tractor or something to do with farming. So take a look at your Craigslist and find the ads that just don't make a lot of sense and really don't help the seller sell the product. That'll be this Friday. Also, the Tevis Cup, I wanted to mention, is 1 week away. If you'll remember, right, the Tevis Cup was postponed at the beginning of the year. I'm trying to remember why it was. Was it because of the fires
herpes
in California, I think?
Was it herpes or the fire? Remember the big herpes outbreak?
I don't remember anymore. Yeah, I don't remember anymore which it was. But anyway, they was postponed from the spring to the fall. They have 200 riders registered. That's amazing.
Wow.
To do the 100-mile ride. This is called the Endurance Rides of Endurance Rides. This is over mountains and down cliffs, and this is a very tough ride. So that's the Tevis Cup, 1 week away. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and hopefully get a guest or two on about the Tevis Cup, because it's just an amazing feat for people who do it. And then also there's a story that's been going around. If you live in the South, near where Jamie used to live, if you live in Tennessee, where we were actually last week, Pigeon Forge, there is a story going around that's upsetting some people, and that is that at Dixie Stampede, which is a dinner theater show that involves horses. Matter of fact, they have 42 horses there at Pigeon Forge at Dixie Stampede. They came down with, a case of EHV1 and had to put one of their Sandy Joe, they had to euthanize Sandy Joe, which was at a quarter horse that was used at the attraction. And apparently after that, they quarantined the 42 horses at the property. Five of them have basically just showed some symptoms of fever and things like that. So they've absolutely quarantined those horses aside, and they've taken the precautions. But the thing that we noticed that was interesting, there's been a lot of news stories in Tennessee. People living in East Tennessee are upset, and they're worried about these horses. And they're really worried about the fact that they've continued to do the shows. And I noticed on their Facebook page, there's been a lot of people posting on their Facebook page about them continuing to do the shows, and they shouldn't be doing the shows, and, you know, people can't get it, but people can carry it. But, this comes back to, we've had this conversation about EHV before. We've done shows on it. You and I have talked about it, Jamie, quite a bit. And we've talked about how it's transmitted and all that stuff. So how do you feel about, if they've quarantined these horses, they have them, they have them put aside, how do you feel about them still doing shows?
Well, I guess the horses that are quarantined, they're not bringing any new horses in for the show, correct? It's just like...
Correct.
Just
the place
the
is shut down. None
there.
In, none out, basically, yeah.
Well, then what's the problem? I mean, if my horses were quarantined here at my facility, I would still ride them. I mean, they still have to work. They still have to stay fit. I mean,
I think what they're saying is that the horses are in the ring. You have all of these people sitting around the ring watching the show. At Dixie Stampede, people are separated, a pretty good distance from the first row. I think that's the concern, is that, you've got all these people in there around these horses who may or may not be infected. By the way, as we learned when we talked to the horse.com, a lot of horses carry the EHV virus. It's dormant. They carry it. You know, your horse probably carries it. You know, a good percentage of horses do. They just never, you know, it never turns into the disease that affects their health.
Well, and the thing is, you know, after dealing with thehorse.com and talking to them so much, first of all, people love to freak out. People just love to freak out over stuff. And, you know, until you walk up to one horse and you take your hand at the Dixie Stampede and you reach out and you stick it up a horse's nose and collect some of the snot, and then you take that hand, hold it in the air or whatever, go home and stick your hand up your horse's nose, you know, you're really not going to bring it home. But if you are concerned about it, wash your hands or don't go to the show. Just, you know, live and let live. I don't get it. Sorry.
Well,
what do you think?
There's two things here. I hope that they canceled the meet and greet. They used to have a meet and greet after the show where the horses would just line up around the rail and you could come down and say hi. So I at least hope they've done that part. One of the things I think they've done wrong here at the Dixie Stampede is there's been a number of news articles where they have been quoted and done some quotes, but on their Facebook page, all they have done, they haven't really talked about it at all, and they have almost 12,000 fans, is they've posted a link to a webcast from a forum that was done in Tennessee by the University of Tennessee about EHV1 that was an educational forum. But they haven't come out and talked about what they're doing. And I think what we've learned in the past from all of the debacles that have happened PR-wise with companies is you got to get ahead of these things and you got to keep ahead of them and keep communications open. If they would address some of the I'm reading here, 25 comments that people have on here about closing and shutting down and all of that, if they would address it and let people know what they're doing actively on Facebook, which is where people go now to look at things, you know, that's where they go to, you know, to check things out now. I think they need to get ahead of it, and they haven't done a good job of that.
But what do you think about the show? Should they cancel? Should they keep going? What?
I think the horses that have shown any signs at all they've quarantined are not using them for the shows is what they've said. So I think they do the shows, but don't do the meet and greets at the end. You know, make sure that that horse people don't get close to the horses. I think they'd be fine. That's my uninformed co-host opinion.
I think that's a good one. I mean, that's pretty much what I would definitely agree with you. So.
A couple people on their page are saying, here's one, this is terrible about the lack of responsibility. I am in the UK, and the news about this is getting around now. We've heard it here. I don't know. I think, again, they need to get ahead of it. I think they've done a terrible job at getting ahead of it. I should call them today and see if they come on the show tomorrow. I think I'd get hung up on. You know, maybe not. Maybe they would be. Maybe they would love to come on the show and talk about it. Maybe I will give them a call today. But we'll see. I think they've done, as I said, I think that's the one mistake they have made. When that stuff happens, as we've learned in the past, you've got to get in front of it. If you get in front of it and you communicate well, it's usually not as big an issue. So,
well, there you go. That's your
get opinion. On it.
And so that's our question of the day. Jennifer just posted it on Facebook. Should the Dixie Stampede continue doing entertainment shows to the public during the quarantine of the H1V1 positive horses at the facility? So weigh in on that. Let's see what everybody has to say. Why not? Thehorse.com is like, they are just a go-to source for anything dramatic health-wise. You know, like, they're so great. Anytime you have any health questions, you just go to thehorse.com and plug it into their search engine, and you'll find it.
Yep, that's correct. And we appreciate them giving us all the input they have in the past about that as well. A couple other stories that we have here is our friend, Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show, co-host of the Driving Radio Show, and our friend that comes on here very regularly, has just been to the U.S. Pony Championships over in Slovenia. And she was with Randy Cadwell of Southern Pines in North Carolina. And they drove Kabam, and they came in sixth place. And that was in the solo single pony championship. So that was really nice. And actually, in third place was, let me see here. In third place was Susie Stafford. She drove as an individual for Team USA and came in third place and won a bronze medal. And the U.S. Pony Drivers defended their third place marathon finish, driving Confident Cones, and came in with the bronze medal at the World Pony Championships. Germany and the Netherlands, as they always do, came in first and second. So they usually take off every other year. But we did pretty well. We came in third. And I know Wendy was posting, and she was having a good time over there, and some incredible pictures of the driving over there in Slovenia. So that's we congratulate Wendy, and I'm looking forward to having her back. Guess what we're doing this Saturday?
I don't think I could. What?
We are going to be in the horse parade that they do at the Festival of the Horse every year in Georgetown, Kentucky, next town over here. They do a Festival of the Horse, and they have a horse parade every year with hundreds of horses that are in it. And we are going to be in it with Wendy in her carriage. So we're
no
going to
kidding.
Go in. And she says we're going to do a unicorn hitch, which is two horses and then one horse in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So two horses in the back, one horse in the front. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to go over Saturday, help her get the horses all ready, get the carriage loaded up, and we're going to go be in the parade.
Oh, that's fantastic. I was thinking, are you going to ride Beaker in that parade? And if you were, then I highly recommend Xylazine or Acepromazine or Demosedan, which is what you'd have to do to my horse if I was going to ride him in a parade. Here, my friends, have some of this.
We are a little concerned because after we agreed to do this, Wendy told us, oh, you know, I've never driven a unicorn hitch before. And
oh,
I said,
she'll be fine.
And I said, you've never driven a unicorn hitch before, and we're going to drive one in a parade? Is that real smart? You know, you hear about these horses getting away and people dying. It's like, is that real smart, Wendy? Is that real smart? But apparently we're going to do it. So we'll let you know if we live through the experience.
If it can't go too far to the right or left because you're on a busy street. So really the only thing you have to worry about is it bolting forward. So just hang on, get your little brake out, have a little shoe break or something. But that's cool, and I know how much you love parades. You are definitely a parade kind of guy. That'll be fun. Hey. I thought if you were going to talk about what you're doing this weekend, it is a very big weekend for a place in Austria. I don't know how to pronounce it. The Fahrlen St. Peter Church is offering its traditional animal blessings. So if you are Catholic, or I don't know if they accept non-Catholic animals,
you can take any animal. They take any animal.
Really? Okay, so this is a church in Linz is offering to bless pets and animals, including horses, dogs, and cats, right before World Animal Day, which I guess is on Monday. But this will happen on October 2nd, on Sunday. And World Animal Day is, I'm not Catholic, so I'm so sorry if I'm screwing this up, but there's the patron saint of animals, and it's Saint Francis. And they honor that by having World Animal Day the day on Monday, I guess October 3rd. So you can bring your pets to this church in Linz and have your animal blessed by who would be blessing it? Like, it'd be during Mass. Would it be a priest, Glenn?
It'd be a priest. It's actually not during Mass. Having been Catholic, I know this story because we used to bring our dog all the time to get blessed on this day. So they do it in churches all over the world. And it's St. Francis of Assisi, and the patron saint of animals. And the priest does a blessing and takes the holy water and sprinkles it on him and says the prayer and stuff. But I think what's cool about this one is this church has sort of become worldwide the church that is known for the blessing of the animals.
And it's cool because they are, like, into social media.
Yes. And you can actually send your pictures of your animals, and they put them all up on a big wall, and they bless the animals from around the world. So if you want to have your animal blessed, you can actually send them a picture, and they'll post them on the wall. You print them out and post them all over one wall, and the priest blesses the wall. So you can get your animal blessed in absentia, not even being there.
Are you Catholic?
Yeah. Any Catholic church, though, on blessing of the animals, if you know what time they do it, whether you're Catholic or not, you can bring your animals down to get blessed. And a lot of people do. There used to be a long line of dogs and cats and gerbils and whatever else that used to be lined up to get blessed. It'd be interesting
so
to talk to a priest
Catholic
to find out what the
church...
craziest thing.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Does any Catholic church allow you to bring an animal to the service on Sunday?
They don't do it at the service. They usually do it after the service. They have a special blessing time. So you have to find out what time they're doing the blessing. But I know people brought horses and things before as well. So, yeah, you can bring your horse or you can bring your cats or your dogs or whatever you want to bring. You can bring for the blessing of the animals. And
that's
have
really
you ever
cool.
been – yeah, I was going to ask you, one of the things Jennifer will relate to this, one of my favorite parts of fox hunting, and Jennifer's fox hunted for years – is the blessing of the hounds day, because they always make it a special day at the fox hunt where people come out and the priest shows up. And in Massachusetts, Jennifer, it wasn't a priest from a Catholic church. I think it was a Russian Orthodox or something church, if I remember right.
There are a number of faiths that have that tradition where they bless the animals. I know some Lutheran churches do it. It might have been Episcopal up there. But the blessing of the hounds every year with every fox hunt is a huge deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Catholic too? Is it like a Catholic blessing thing?
Well, I think it depends. You know, mostly it is, but I'm thinking that it was a Russian Orthodox priest that did it the one time up there because he had a big beard and stuff. And they wear a little bit different garments. Theirs are a lot more elaborate. So it's just a neat thing. It's just fun because they make it a spectacle. Everybody shows up. Blessing of the Hounds, and anybody listening to this that's been to one will relate to this, is just one of the most special things of the fox hunting season. It's just something everybody looks forward to.
I think I'm Catholic curious. Like, not bi curious, I'm like Catholic curious. That's why I keep asking all these questions.
So what did you grow up? Did you go to church at all?
Well, I was going to tell you, I've actually, and seeing that you're Catholic, you might appreciate this story. When I was growing up, I grew up Methodist, but I went to a camp in Atlanta, and it was a pony club. And it was one weekend a month you would go to this camp out in Conyers, Georgia, and it was called, and if any listener knows what this is, oh, my God, please tell me, Little Hope Ranch. Seriously, the name of the place is Little Hope. Little Hope. You had little hope of surviving this camp. I mean, the fact that any of us got out alive is just phenomenal.
I went to one of those, too.
I've talked to so many people that went to Little Hope, and they will all remember on Sunday morning, because this is in Conyers, Georgia, and there's a huge monastery out in Conyers, Georgia. We would have to get at 4:30 in the morning into the back of a pickup truck. She would pile like 20 girls into the back of her pickup truck at 4:30 in the morning and drive us to the monastery in Conyers. And we would have to get out, and we'd be greeted by, you know, the monks and all this, and we'd go to a 5 o'clock service. So we were at a service, and I grew up Methodist and went to Baptist church, and when it's communion time, everybody goes and gets communion. So I go, they're like, okay, well, come on down and accept your communion. And so I got in line, and I didn't know that you were supposed to, like, you know, you drink from the glass and then the priest or monk puts the food in your mouth. I didn't know any of this, but I stood in line and I did what everybody else did. And I must have taken communion in that Catholic church 20 to 25 times. Because I got good at the Lord be with you, and also with you, we lift our hearts. I still remember all of the chanting that we had to do and everything. And then somebody asked me, a year later, what religion I am. And I said that I was Methodist. And, oh, my God, everybody told me I was going to go to hell because I accepted communion in the Catholic Church. And I was, like, 9. And I was, like, scared to death. I was like, I'm going to hell because I took communion at Catholic Church. They're like, you have to be certified to do that and all this crazy. Am I in trouble, Glenn, with the good Lord because I took communion?
I think the good Lord would be happy that you were at a Christian camp in the first place. So I kind of think he was probably happy you were there in the first place. And besides, Methodist is Catholic light, so that's okay.
Catholic. It's like diet Catholic.
That's it. It's the Catholic light. That's what we always said. I actually got married. I'm not so much a Catholic anymore. More a Lutheran. We got married Lutheran. And Lutheran, we always said, was Catholic light because it's pretty much the same service. You just don't have all the rules about communion. Anybody can go up. So that was well, there's our church talk of the day. Let's do our commercial. And go back to talking about horses.
All right. Well, I just thought that you would react a little bit more because they told me that I was in big trouble. I mean, then they scared me to death as a child, telling me I was in big trouble.
Well, you know, one of the problems I have with Catholic Church is confession, which is what you're supposed to do. So I wasn't a very good Catholic to begin with because I always thought confession was silly. So there, I'm going to have all the Catholics mad at me now. So I think that's why a lot of people left the Catholic Church and went Lutheran and Methodist because you didn't have to do that.
I didn't do anything. I'm perfect. I confess everything. I'm perfect. Well, we would like, sorry about this, Pfizer. You get to sponsor that and do the commercial right after that. But at Pfizer Animal Health, thanks for sponsoring today's show. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of all horses and all animals, and their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongent C2X, West Nile Innovator, the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and for the people who care for them. So protect your horse against upper respiratory disease, such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4. And from the Ford Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Medistim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com. And people, we all know it is that time of the year. Please, fall vaccines. Fall vaccines. You must get vaccines this year because, Glenn, tell everybody what happened in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right now in Wisconsin, they're having a heck of a time. They have, let's see here, it's more than 24 horses right now with EEE. And, you know, that they're finding that the mortality rate is reported at 90%. So
that's EEE. That's in your five-way shots, people. EEE, WEE, flu, rhino, it all comes, you know, you can get it all together, one shot, get them done. It's important.
Yep. Yep, definitely do that. Well, one of the things when Jamie and I started this show and Jennifer, we talked about was we wanted to highlight horse businesses that we thought were doing it right. And, you know, we've tried to do that over the period of time we've had the show on the air. And as we find them, you know, and we have personal experience with them, we thought, well, let's get them on and let's highlight, give them a free plug here and highlight businesses that we thought were doing them right. Well, we found one of those businesses last week on vacation, and that business was Walden's Creek Stables in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, in the mountains there by the Smoky Mountains. And we went over there, and we said we wanted to do a trail ride, and we ended up with a terrific guide by the name of Chance Dickerson. Very interesting guy who actually has an interesting family that does interesting things in the horse world. So we thought we'd get Chance on here to talk a little bit about Walden's Creek Stables and also about what the other things are that he does. So good morning, Chance.
Good morning, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for taking us out last week and protecting the host and making sure I didn't end up dead. Appreciate that.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Just seeing you wearing that vintage riding helmet and riding that old standard bred horse, man, you looked good out there.
The one thing, Jamie, we didn't talk about yesterday, for all those new listeners to the show, I'm a carriage driver, not necessarily a good rider. I have ridden on occasion, and Jennifer makes me ride. But I was the one, of course. Jennifer's a very experienced rider. You're a very experienced rider. And the three of us going out in these trails in the mountains there in the Smokies, of course, who gets the turkey that comes down out of the tree right above his horse's head? Me. Me.
Of course.
I get the turkey.
Of course. Yeah, I planned that, actually. I mean, that turkey had a long talk. And I told him you were coming out there, and we planned the whole thing.
Well, Jamie, we were riding up to this little wooden bridge, and we could see the wild turkeys up there. By the way, there are wild turkeys all over the place up there. We could see the wild turkeys up ahead, and I saw one on the railing of the bridge, and I thought, well, there's the turkey. That's going to cause trouble. Well, he flew away by the time we got to the bridge. We didn't know about the one that was in the tree right above the bridge that decided to fly out of the tree over my horse's head. Fortunately, I did not get dumped. Fortunately.
Oh, well, what did your horse do?
Oh, he spooked a bit, but he was really good about it. You could tell these horses are campaigners. They're used to a bunch of different things. Chance, you did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about Walden's Creek Stables.
Well, Walden's Creek Stables is just outside of Pigeon Forge. We got about 500 acres out there, and they've actually had the stables for about 27 years. And it's all family-owned, family-ran, same family's had it the whole entire time. And they have about five or six kids, and they've all worked out there on the ranch. They're all still working out there on the ranch for the most part. We have a lot of moonshine steels out there in the mountain. That's kind of one of the things we push a lot. They used to do a lot of moonshine making in that area, so it's a really beautiful area. We offer.
Well, let
all
me clarify that. You made it sound like you guys are still doing the moonshine and pushing the moonshine.
Unfortunately, we're not. We're not. We just it's out there. They made a lot of it at one point, but we don't make it no more.
You guys do a terrific job. The horses all look great. You had a mule there, too. I wanted to ride the mule, but he was already gone by the time we got there.
Oh, that's old Clyde the Glide, man. He's a good old mule. He definitely is. But I think Skipper was your horse because he'll tell everybody that he's not a rider, that he's a carriage driver. But, man, I tell you, Glenn, he's John Wayne. He is. He was riding old Skipper through them Smoky Mountains. I swear, he's a cowboy. He would have had a cowboy hat instead of that helmet. He would have just looked the part right there.
I think Jamie would have busted my chops if I hadn't been wearing a helmet, let me tell you.
I know.
it was
funny because you could tell you were a little nervous at first getting on that big old tall standard bred horse. And Jamie's back there just riding away, looking out at the woods halfway, forgetting that she's even riding her horse.
Jennifer's just back there doing her thing. Yep.
But as we got down the ride a lot more, you seemed to you wanted to keep on going. You were ready to go. I thought halfway through the ride. So I don't know.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I want to find out what was your first impression of Glenn as he saunters on up to the hitching post or whatever, and you size him up and you think, I'm going to put him with this horse. What was the thought process there?
Well, I guess I'd already got a little pre-deal on y'all coming and everything. They told me a little bit about it. So I thought that it just would be perfect to put him on Skipper, considering Skipper's real tall. And I thought he would enjoy it the most. I wanted to put on something that he would have a little fun with. That's pretty much the main reason. But my first impression was, I didn't know. I saw that helmet. I was kind of curious. I saw the helmet come on, and he swung on, and I was curious about it. But he did good.
Chance is being so kind.
Yeah, I really want to know what really happened in Chance's head when he sees you standing there with your helmet in your hand, and he's like, oh, God, what do
this
I have
really
to
on
do?
A horse radio, this guy's really on a horse radio network show.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Hey, but I had the coolest helmet there. You know, that chocolate leather helmet looks pretty cool. That's a pretty cool helmet.
It did look cool. I tell you, it looked cool. I come from a family where we don't really wear helmets, so that doesn't mean that we're any smarter than anybody. I promise you that. But we don't really wear a lot of helmets, and I saw that one. I liked it. I liked that helmet.
Yeah.
I
thought you liked that one. Yeah, I can sell you one. How long have you been doing the rides there?
Well, I've been doing the rides there for almost a year now. I've been riding my whole life, but I've been there for almost just about a year now. I haven't been there real long. I've been kind of around. I worked for Dixie for a while, and did a couple little other things, and I did a lot of work with my father shoeing horses in Mississippi. He's been shoeing horses for 37 years, and me and my brother were kind of raised shoeing horses with him and doing things like that with him with horses. He can do just about anything there is to do with a horse. And I worked with him for a good little while. But, yeah, I've been at the stables for about a year now.
So tell us, and I've always wondered this, what are some of the craziest things you've come across with the people that you're taking out there?
Well, we run into some different things. Some of the craziest things that we see are when these horses that we have out there, I mean, all these horses are just incredibly trained. Their dispositions are just so great. They're just real laid-back horses. There's nothing spooky really about them. Like you said, that horse barely spooked at the turkey flying right above them. I mean, they're just real used to these trails. And we get a lot of grown people who will come out there and just be as nervous as you can possibly be. And just, I mean, I've seen grown people cry the whole ride just because they're nervous the whole time. And these horses are almost looking up at them like, man, I'm not going to do anything to you. Why are you so nervous? But I have seen some funny things. I've seen guys try to, they come out there and they think they can ride pretty good, and they get to kicking them horses while we're going down hills. And I'll warn them, I'll tell them, now, you don't want to kick that horse going down the hill. And they'll get to kick him and say they're all right, and that horse will take off down the hill. And we have a lot of sharp turns out there in the mountains, and they'll take that sharp turn, and that cowboy will go right off the side of that horse, and that happens a lot. You guys that come out there, they think they can ride, and they may be able to ride, but it's kind of a different deal out there. We just walk around them Smoky Mountains. We don't do a lot of running and all that. And them horses, they definitely, they'll take you for a ride that you try to take advantage of.
So do you offer any rides that are not just walking? Do you have any, like, kind of giddy-up cowboy fast rides?
Well, no? We actually don't. For us, I guess it's kind of a liability issue for us. We don't really do any running. The only thing we don't do. Now, we do offer a lot of, like, more experienced trails. If you're a more experienced horse rider, we have 2.5-hour-long trails that go straight up the side of the mountain all the way to the top. We have a 4-hour mountain adventure trail that's some really good riding. And so although we don't do a lot of running, we do some hard riding. We do climb some really tall mountains, straight up rock inclines, things like that. So there is still some really good riding. We just don't do running. That's the only thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and you guys, let me tell you, Danny, the hills here, there's some substantial hills up the side of this mountain. You're definitely doing hill work. There's no question about that. Jennifer's horse, she got the one that likes to eat everything along the path the entire way. But she did a good job of explaining to the horse at the beginning that we weren't going to be doing that this particular ride. And you can tell this horse is used to taking advantage of riders that don't know what they're doing, because he was really ready to eat the entire way. But she did a good job of explaining the situation early on, and I don't think he got too many snacks in.
I tell you what, I've watched that horse. I love Lewis. He's a great horse. But he does like to eat grass. I mean, I call him Lewis the Lawnmower because he does. He loves to eat grass. He will take advantage of it. I mean, I've watched him take advantage of just grown men. I mean, just and take them, and they can't even control them. And he ate grass on her one time, I think. She had a couple words with him, and her and Lewis were one the rest of that trail ride. And that was I told her at the end I was pretty impressed, because he is a big, stout horse. He's one of our bigger horses, and he's a big old boy. And when he wants grass, he'll go for it. And she stopped that real quick. I was impressed by that.
Poor Lewis,
like,
you're so mean.
Yeah, poor Jennifer. He was starving by the end.
Lewis, I told her, I said, Lewis probably hates you. I told her after the ride, I said, he probably don't like you at all because you didn't let him eat. But you did a dang good job.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Chance, about the other things that you do. You also train horses, but you're also a little, and your brother especially, are trick riders, right?
Oh, yes. My brother and his girlfriend, Dusty Crane, they're actually big-time trick riders. I mean, my brother's taught me a lot of things through the way, but they're actually doing the IFR in January. They're they do a lot of rodeos all across the country. They both Roman ride as well as trick ride. And their act actually, when they go do rodeos, she Roman rides and they trick ride together. And they do a lot
What's
of work.
Name?
There. Her name is
What's
Dusty
her name?
Crane. Dusty
With a
Crane.
Name like Dusty Crane, you better be a rodeo girl.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. And she is quite the rodeo girl. I promise you. She is very, very, very amazing on on a set of paint horses. She's off. She really is. She Roman rides bareback and barefooted. She wears no shoes of any type and wears no pads or anything on top of her horses. And she runs them wide open, jumps them over fire, does all kinds of stuff. It's really great to see. If you ever get a chance, they do rodeos all across the nation. Like I said, they're doing the IFR in January. Ever get a chance to go see them, they put on a wonderful show.
Now
they also
work
the Dixie Stampede as well.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, and I don't know if you're able to even talk about it, but we had a conversation about the Dixie Stampede and the situation going on with the EHV. So are they there right now? Are they are they in the barns there?
They are. To be honest, Lynn, personally, I can't say a whole lot about the Dixie Stampede situation, and they have gone public with a good bit of it, but because of the fact that, I wouldn't want to cause anybody trouble or anything. Now, all I know is that they do have their horses quarantined inside as of now. They're obviously not using their horses that have tested positive, but they are quarantined, and they are taking all precautions. They have veterinarians out there almost every day checking on it. The same vet that my brother uses for his horse, the same vet Dixie Stampede uses, and that vet is on top of this situation 24/7. It's a very big deal right now for Dixie Stampede and my brother and any of the other cast members that have horses of their own as well. My brother travels with his own personal horses, but yet has to go work at Dixie with those horses. So contaminating his horses is a very easy thing. Fortunately, his horses have not tested positive for the virus, and they've had the vet out, and so far everything's fine. But it is quite the ordeal. They're really having to take all precautions right now. They do have the horses quarantined right now in the barn still.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's about as much as I really know.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing that. Now, I have one other question for you before we let you go here, and we'll give out the website and everything. And I do recommend these guys. When we went to Pigeon Forge and we said we wanted to do a trail ride and we asked around, Walden Creek Stables was the one that came up every time. So we definitely had a good experience there. Have you ever had the opportunity, and I don't know if you saw this, did you read the story about a fellow wrangler by the name of Aaron Bolster?
I don't think so.
Last week saved a 8-year-old boy from being eaten by a grizzly bear when she got her horse. Did you see that?
I did hear a little bit about that. I heard a little bit about that.
Now, so my question for you is, if the bear had been charging at us and coming right at me, would you have gotten your horse between us and saved my life?
No, Glenn, I would have expected you to pull the big hero act. I would have expected you to swing off old Skipper and take care of that. See, I always tell people, always person in the back of my line on my rides, I tell them they're going to have to be bear bait for us. And so if we see a black bear out there, they got to jump off that old horse, run up to that black bear, hug him, kiss him, fight him, punch him, do whatever they can do. In about an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever ride we're doing, we'll come back out and get him. So that's what we would have done.
I got my answer. I think I got my answer. No, he wouldn't have.
No, I would have saved you, Glenn. I promise I would have.
If you expected Glenn to save the day, yet a turkey flew in front of him and he about had a heart attack, what do you think would have happened with a bear?
Well, the deal is we would have just kind of ran off, so we would have just worked that out. He would have just had to figure it out, because me and he would have took off.
Have you run into a bear at all? I know there's bear out there. Have you run into them at all on your rides?
We have in the morning. We don't see them that often, but we have seen them. They come out early up in those mountains sometimes. But they do say there's a few of them out there right on that ridge, but we don't see them often. We don't see them often. I think there's a little too much traffic going through them woods. I think they kind of stay away from us.
Now, you did say that one of the things you do see are the largest. What kind of snake that you were shocked at?
Timber rattlesnakes. We've got some big ones out there. We've got some big old timber rattlesnakes. I've seen several out there riding on top of the mountain and all. They tend to stay up in those mountains, but they are up there. They're big snakes. They definitely are. We've got some big ones up there.
Are the horses used to them across the across them on the trail occasionally?
They really are. I mean, I've seen several snakes, and never has my horse spooked. I mean, I'm riding a little 4-year-old Gildan right now, and he doesn't even care about it. And, I mean, they don't seem to bother him. A lot of these horses are just so used to these trails and so used to the stuff we see. And normally, you know, horses would have probably jumped out of their skin over that turkey, but Skipper just kind of hopped a little bit. So, I mean, hey, for the most part, like I said, these horses are just real laid back. They know these woods. Most of the horses out there in the ranch have been there at least 10 years or so. So, I mean, for the most part, they don't get spooked by much. They really don't.
Well, that's great. It was fun. It was a terrific time. Thank you so much, Chance, for coming on here with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all were wonderful. Y'all were great. It was a pleasure taking you out on that ride. It really was.
Well, Chance did say something. He said to us on the ride, he said, you know, it's really nice taking people out that know how to ride. He can sit back and relax a little and doesn't have to be constantly worried about who's going to take off the wrong way or down the wrong path. But it was fun.
Yeah.
We had a good time. And that's Walden Creek Stables. Jennifer posted a link to it on our Facebook page already. So if you're ever headed to the Smoky Mountains, check him out and ask for Chance. He gives a good ride. All right. Thanks, Chance. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to get Dusty on the show.
I know.
That sounds like
a Dusty.
Cool
what
girl.
A name. Just with a name that, you got to have her on the show.
Got to. You have to. I've got to say, back to the religious church comment, we posted it online. Jennifer posted it on Facebook. And I was talking about taking communion without having to been to confession. And everybody, when I was a kid, told me I was going to go to hell because I was supposed, you know, it was like, really, they scared me to death. Well, Glenn Forrester posted on our Facebook page, taking communion without having been to confession is a mortal sin, and the sinner will be doomed to live in purgatory or Phoenix. Right out, Glenn. Thank you. I live there. Yes, I know.
I do remember you calling Phoenix hell a few times over the summer.
It is hell in the summer. Like I said, it was 80 degrees at 6 a.m. this morning, and I thought that was cool. God
damn that. I got to take a break. We thought in honor of Templeton's birthday, we'd play a song from her that we have not played before in the show. It's called It Takes Her Away. I got to get my composure.
What's the matter, Anna? Please don't cry. Me and Daddy don't mean to fight. It's almost over. Gotta love that little girl. Carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders. She rides outside, climbs on a chestnut horse. Before too long, she won't be crying anymore. It takes her away, gives her wings to fly. Opens her heart, it frees her mind. There's no denying when she's riding. Every worry disappears. The wind whispers away her tears from the moment she takes the reins. Oh, sweet saving grace, it takes her away. Who ever said life is fair? Either never had to get nowhere. I don't know nothing. Living out in a grown-up world where it's always something. Yeah, it's so easy to get let down and hard to find relief. But once she's in the saddle, she can breathe. Oh, takes her away, gives her wings to fly. Opens her heart and frees her mind. There's no denying when she's riding. Every worry disappears. can go. It takes her away, gives her wings to fly. Opens her heart and frees her mind. There's no denying when she's running. Every word, it disappears. The wind whispers away her tears from the moment she takes the rain. Oh, it's sweet, saving grace. Yeah, it takes her.
Well, and that was Templeton Thompson. We appreciate her, and we want to wish her a happy birthday. It was her birthday.
Happy
that song birthday! Is called. That song is called "It Takes Her Away," and you can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning by Pfizer Animal Health. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is the producer chair today. Our Horse Radio Network show highlight this week is the Driving Radio Show. It was came out last week. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it was called Drive 'em Doggy. And I'm mentioning this for Jamie's sake because we can put your dogs to work, Jamie. Put them to work.
Oh, my God, they need it.
For them.
You're saying driving dogs? Can I get Boomer to, like, pull my car down the road for about 2 miles and then he'd finally rest for a second?
No, but we can get Boomer to pull you down the road for 2 miles so he can finally rest for a second. This guy named Jim Walsh in Sydney, Australia, came up with this special cart that you sit on. It's a driving cart, has wheels and everything, but it's a special configuration that the shaft goes up over the top of the dog and hooks into a harness on the top of the dog's back, so it makes it easy for the dog to pull this cart. And you can actually drive your dog.
That's awesome.
It is
That's
terrific.
Awesome.
There's all kinds of cool videos of him driving all kinds of different kinds of dogs. And what's even neater in your case is you can hook two or four dogs across. So you can hook Boomer and Zenyatta up, and you can wear them both out.
Hold on, though. Hold on. How do you get them to stop? Because I doubt there's little bits in their mouth.
Well, no, there's not little bits in their mouth. Actually, the reins go up to their halter, and he said it's pretty easy to teach the dogs. I'm doubting this part. He said it's pretty easy to teach the dogs to steer. They'll learn to do that, which I'm still doubting that part a little bit. But he said if you have dogs, you probably should invest the extra. He can put disc brakes on your cart. So basically what happens is you put on the disc brakes because it's a two-wheel cart. The whole front end of the cart tends to come off the ground. So if your dog's really still trying to pull against the disc brakes, you can actually lean back a little and your dog will come off the ground. Some little feet are too.
I would do that by accident. There'd be like, you'd be reading a story in, like, you know, some sort of horse publication and be on the blood horse, you know, like woman flips cart with dog. And she leaned back too far. Yeah.
They're not cheap, though, but we did a 20-minute interview because we were so fascinated. But he actually has special attachments for llamas. They use these particular carts for minis, and one of the reasons these carts have become popular is they weigh 30 pounds. That's it, 30 pounds. So they're really, really light, and they come apart so you can put them in your car if you wanted to. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. The guy's doing a good job with it. So it's called Drive 'em Doggy. He hasn't found a way to drive a cat successfully because they just don't cooperate at all. And chickens aren't so good either. You need about 100 of them. So we can't do chickens either.
Try to hitch up a cat to anything. I mean, we can't even keep an identity collar on the cat I have now. Much less a harness. It's ridiculous.
But so that's over in the Driving Radio Show, drivingradioshow.com. A couple weeks ago, and you haven't heard this yet, and I really wanted you to hear it. We're hoping that Horse and Country can get through today. But before we do their segment, a couple weeks ago on the Stable Scoop Show, I had found this poem. And I said to Helena, I said, this is a really cool poem, but it's kind of a Kleenex alert tearjerker. But it's such a cool poem. I think we should have you read it. It needs to be read, and we need to read it, and you know, we need to produce it and put a little bit of music in front of it. And we did that. And I want you guys to hear this poem, and I'll tell you about it after. And we're actually going to have, get your computer.
Is this a mascara alert? Like, it's going to be running down my face, and Kleenex box. Okay.
Yes.
Check. Got it.
But Helena did such a fantastic job with this poem. She did a great job reading it. And I wanted to share it with everybody here in the morning show. And then I'll tell you a little bit about the author and everything after. And we're actually going to have that author of this poem on the Stable Scoop show this week. So take a listen.
I Hung Up My Bridle Today by Chris Garrett. Yesterday, for the first time, I was too tired to ride. Yesterday, for the first time, I was afraid I would be hurt if I was thrown. Yesterday, for the first time, I realized I was old. Yesterday, for the first time, I had to face that I could no longer keep up. Yesterday, for the first time, I felt my heart break. Yesterday, for the first time, I turned my back on my friend. Yesterday, for the first time, I knew I was done. Today, for the last time, I felt warm, braided leather in my hands. Today, for the last time, I released the buckles on the girth and watched my girl sigh. Today, for the last time, I slowly dropped the bit so it wouldn't hit her teeth. Today, for the last time, I buried my head in her soft, warm neck. Today, for the last time, I tracked hay and horsehair into my house. Today, for the first time, I cried after my ride. Today, for the first time, I felt my hands shake as I set the saddle on its rack. Today, for the first time, I hugged my young trainer a final goodbye. Today, for the first time, I waited for the new owner's trailer to arrive. Today, for the first time, I did not hear nickering when I opened my back door. Today, for the first time, I felt worse leaving the barn than I did when I entered. Today, for the first time, I had no one to check on before going to bed. Tomorrow, for the first time, I can stay in bed longer. Tomorrow, for the first time, I won't be able to fly on four legs. Tomorrow, for the first time, I will regret letting her go. Tomorrow, for the first time, I will be angry at myself. Tomorrow, for the first time, I will cry the day away. Tomorrow, for the first time, I will be glad to die. Day after tomorrow, for the first time, I will know I was wrong. Day after tomorrow, for the first time, I will defy all the opinions. Day after tomorrow, for the first time, I will ignore my old bones. Day after tomorrow, for the first time, I will bring my friend home. Day after tomorrow, for the first time, I will be reborn. For the rest of my life, I will have a horse in my yard. For the rest of my life, I will ignore the well-meaning advice. For the rest of my life, I will bury my face in her soft neck. For the rest of my life, I will let my soul fly. For the rest of my life, I will never be alone.
Aw, Helena did a great job with that poem.
Didn't she?
Yeah.
She
but
said
I,
it took
I,
her about 21 takes because she kept crying.
Aw.
It took her about... I thought about you trying to read it, and I went, oh, no, hell, she'd never get through that.
Yeah. There's parts I kind of stopped listening to. Like, I was like, I need to focus on my today's show. But I hope
that was written
enjoyed
by,
it. Yeah,
it was written by
it.
a lady by the name of Chris Garrett, and she actually works with Jane Savoy on some projects, the dressage guru Jane Savoy on some projects,
mm-hmm.
and she's from out your way. She's Denver, Colorado, And apparently this is a true story. This is kind of happened to her. And she said one day, she said, I just had to sit down and write my this story. And when I read it, I thought it was so beautiful that I thought it needed to be produced. So that, and I, you know, Helena just did a terrific job. And I thank Helena for spending the 2 hours it took her to do it because she kept crying and having to redo everything.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm like speechless about it because, yeah, there's no way I could ever get through that. I would send it back to you and go, no, get somebody else. Not going to happen.
Yeah. You know, and Glenn Forrester just asked if we could post a poem so it could be shared, and I will do that. I'll get to it later. Later this morning, I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page if everybody wants to read it or share it. I'm going to actually post a sound file, too, so that it will just be that poem, so people can share just that poem. Thank you, Helena, for reading it. You did a terrific job. And thank you to Chris. We're going to talk to her on the show. Some interesting experiences, too. And Chris, who wrote this, also is involved in radio. So she's got an interesting story. We're going to talk to her on Stable Scoop show this week. And I think we were having trouble, Jennifer, connecting with England for that interview.
Yes, the international Skype gods are angry with us right now, but we're working on it. I haven't given up on
All right.
yet.
Okay, so you're still trying to get her on the line there?
We're working.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well,
the posting of Glenn, because Glenn Forrester posted that taking communion, you know, the whole thing
yeah.
about living in Phoenix. Well, it kind of got mired in a post about everybody talking about them having their animals blessed. And
okay.
now people are mad at Glenn because they're like, what are you talking about? Communion is a mortal sin, and you're going to be doomed to live in Phoenix. So there's people that are on our Facebook page that are not listening to our show, surprise, surprise, and they are like, Glenn, what are you talking about? How dare you? So I'm trying to write to Katie Living Good, who's like, Glenn, what? Huh? It's not communion. It's a blessing. So I'm going to try to get you out of trouble, Glenn. Sorry about that. People took
so
a little
several
out
of our stories are getting mixed up today, huh?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I wanted to thank Vicki Schwab posted on our Facebook today a picture of Smokey Brannaman at the Wade House on September 25th in a reenactment. Remember, he does a Civil War reenacting. And
uh-huh.
they posted a picture of the whole cavalry troop. And it's a great picture because it's in black and white. So it just gives you that feel. But, Vicki, I'm concerned because, Jamie, you asked if Smokey was the fourth from the left. And she said, no, the fifth. I don't think that looks like Smokey at all, does it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was just trying to post on there right now. Of course, he's the tall, handsome one.
We might have to clarify that. Maybe that is him. It's hard to tell in this picture because it is from a distance. but thank you, Vicki, for posting that. You know, we try and keep an eye on Smokey. Buck Brannaman is coming in a couple of weeks here to Louisville or to Lexington, Kentucky. So he'll be a couple of weeks here, and he'll be doing some clinic. He's doing a clinic here. So he will be here for
going?
What, 3 or 4 days, Jennifer? You know, I think we're actually out of town that weekend. But Jennifer's going to try and go. She's going to try and go. I'm going to be up at the carriage auction, doing a show up at the carriage auction in Pennsylvania. So Jennifer's going to try and go to it. Is that right, Jennifer? Are you still trying to go to the Buck Brannaman Clinic?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. See, the
okay.
hard part is I have to get up the courage to go. I might just go audit because then I can hide in the background and be subtle. It's, I think, 4 days. It's quite a long time, and they're doing it over at Masterson Station, which is literally – across the street from us.
Oh, are they doing it over there? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
And it's nice because the facility has a really giant-sized indoor arena, so we don't have to worry about what the weather's up to.
What did he
do? So you were thinking about
bringing
a speaker?
I didn't hear which question.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say, were you thinking about bringing a speaker?
Well, I need to get hold of George Smock, the organizer for this particular clinic, because he does different levels, and he's a cowboy, so everything revolves around working cattle. And the two levels they have are for beginners and maybe a little bit more experienced beginners. And I'm not too sure if and or where we would fit in.
Working cattle? I think beginner.
Well, there's no cows. Both of them say that there's no actual cows.
I guess, yeah, I mean, I was curious, like, what type of stuff you would do for 4 days in a clinic setting. I mean, it's like, say you're just a regular, normal horse person that just wants to communicate better with your horse. Do you have to go out there and work cattle, or is that just kind of part of the session?
Well,
I don't know.
That's a very good question. These are things I don't know yet, because the descriptions on the Buck Brandeman website are not extra specially detailed for somebody who is not all that familiar with cattle and ranch work, but it appears that everything is geared towards a working ranch horse skill set. But I know, I remember when we watched the movie, there were people writing English and doing all kinds of stuff. So I think he just takes those skill sets and applies them to somebody who, you know, does dressage. Well, obviously a dressage horse has to be very nimble on his feet and very keen on the aids, so you can take those things and apply them. But I'm not sure what that really entails. So I'm either going to have to ride at the clinic or have Buck back on the show, or both.
Okay.
Oh, there you
go. How much is it? Do you not want to stay with
thing.
How much?
$600 for the whole thing.
4 days, $600. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. For a Hollywood movie star, that's not bad.
An international movie star now. Yeah, he's in Switzerland now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait, I can imagine.
I'm curious to know how much clinics usually are. Maybe we can post that on Facebook at some point too, or do it. Like, how much is a Pirelli clinic versus the Buck clinic versus, like, what do you get for your money at each clinic? You know, like, how many clinicians are there? I mean, like, Jane Savoy, what does she charge for a clinic? What does Clinton Anderson? And Clinton's coming to Phoenix, and he's going to be doing a clinic, and apparently I heard it was like $2,000.
Yeah, some of them are up there. I do know that. Some of them are really high. They're $1,500 to $3,000 in some cases. But that is a good question. It would be interesting for someone who had a little bit of time to do a chart with all the clinicians and their prices for the clinics and do a comparison chart. That'd be a fun little chart to read sometime. You know what? Speaking of Hollywood stars, there's another horse-related show coming out in January by HBO's putting it out. HBO's doing a lot of terrific shows. They are, you know, we don't get HBO, but I've caught bits and pieces of some of the series they're putting out, Bedwood and some of the others are really well-produced, well-done series. Well, they're doing one called Luck, and it's a horse racing show. But, you know, you got two people in it who are going to make this show good. And you don't often see in a TV-type series, and that is Dustin Hoffman and Nick Nolte. And Dustin Hoffman plays this guy who gets out of jail who then decides he wants to get into horse racing, sort of a badass guy, typical Dustin Hoffman role. And he wants to get into horse racing. And, of course, he was involved in rackets before and things like that. And then you got Nick Nolte, who plays what Nick Nolte always plays, and that's a horse trainer looking for a second chance. Nick Nolte's always this guy looking for a second chance in movies, isn't he?
He's always down on his luck, you know, kicking rocks on the side of the road, broke, nothing in his pocket.
Yep.
And if you've ever seen Nick Nolte's mugshot, you will completely buy that. Have you ever seen his mugshot, Glenn?
Yes. Yes. I saw the trailer for this movie. And he kind of looks the same in this trailer for the movie. He's got the scruffy beard, hasn't shaved in about a month, you know, things like that. Yep. That's Nick Nolte. But the trailer looks good. You want to take a look for it. The show's called Luck. Just look HBO Luck. Yeah, just Google that, and you'll find the trailer for it. I would have played the trailer on here, but it's all music. It really doesn't say anything. It looks like it's going to be kind of edgy, gritty, you know, corruption and racing. Yeah,
it's going to be
dirty. Yeah, there might be some nudity, I'm kind of hoping.
Right.
I'm looking for that.
You're not going to see it anyway.
True. I know. I might have to just get HBO's coming out with the good stuff. We might have to get HBO here. But it's looking good. I mean, I thought it looked like a good show. For those of you that get HBO, there it is. It's called Luck, and it's coming out in January, it looks like.
Darn it.
And of course,
because I just moved into a new house, and we got a new cable system, and they've given us 3 months of free, you know, HBO and Showtime and Cinemax and all that. And so my of course, by the time it starts, I'll have run out of my free trial. Dang it.
That's right. True. All right, I think we have our guest ready here, and I think, a bumper for it.
It is time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Dude, seriously. You are, it's not like you're racist, but it's like you're countryist or something. Like, you think everything in England has to sound like it's coming from the actual Buckingham Palace. Vicky, Victoria, we are so sorry that that you had to sit through that. We have on with us Victoria Spicer, the senior web editor from horseandcountry.tv, and of course giving us our European report since our last European reporter had to go off and have some baby or something. Victoria had to step in. So first of all, introduce yourself to us, Victoria.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. As you said, my name's Victoria, and I'm now working for Horse and Country TV because Katie, the former web editor, has just had a lovely little baby girl, so that's lovely.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, she's doing. I guess she's doing very well, and we're gonna get caught up with her soon enough because I'm gonna keep harassing her. But we want to know about you since you're stepping in here. Are you a rider? Are you pregnant? Are you a mom? What's going on?
I'm not pregnant, I have to say. But my mum bought my first pony when she was pregnant with me, so I've always been a rider. I didn't get a choice. And so, yes, I grew up with ponies and then moved on to thoroughbreds, and I have a six-year-old thoroughbred called Tricky. So, yes.
Oh, cool.
What do you do with Tricky?
Well, he is another former racehorse. He was born in America, actually. And so he raced on the flat over here. And then I got him about 2 years ago. And so I'm basically just sort of reschooling him. And he does some dressage and some jumping. And if I'm brave, I might take him cross country maybe next season.
Good deal. That's fantastic. Well, you know, we always talk about getting imports here in the United States. Well, she's got an import of the United States. I don't know if that's as valuable as European imports.
Well, he came over here as quite a valuable racehorse, but now he's just a very normal riding horse because his sire is Rahi. He's quite a famous American racehorse who died quite recently, actually, which is quite sad. But yes, he was brought over here when he was about 1.5 to come and race.
Rahi was at Three Chimneys and is a very famous sprinter, still holds records. Yes, I know. Little chestnut, very small,
yes.
Little horse.
Yes, and Tricky's awesome. Quite similar. He looks quite similar to Rahi, so it's quite nice.
Good. That's cool. Good luck. Good job. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to talk to us about today. I know you guys have done very well in the show jumping and dressage world recently.
Yes, it's been a very busy few months with the European Championships. And since Katie finished at Horse and Country, she's missed some of the most exciting sort of action moments in the last sort of year or so. We started off with the European Championships in Rotterdam with the dressage. And Britain's always, you know, been sort of there or thereabouts in the dressage, but it's been dominated by Germany and Holland. And this year, for the first time ever, we won the team gold medal, which is just an extraordinary occurrence. And, you know, we've broken the stranglehold that those two countries have had for years and years. So it's been very exciting for us.
And Victoria, I think that, you know, people that don't follow that international sport as much as we do don't realize what a big deal it is. Those countries, the Germanys and the Netherlands, those countries have owned dressage for years, and for you guys, for England, to step up and to win that is huge.
I know. It's such a phenomenal thing for British dressage. It's so inspirational for everyone who takes part in the sport that we can actually not only be medal contenders, but to be gold medal contenders. And looking ahead to the Olympics next year, it's just quite exciting that we must be viewed as one of the favourite teams to take gold, which is just a brilliant thing for our sport.
Talk about pressure, though. Now your riders have got the added pressure of having just won the gold over in Europe, and then coming back for the Olympics in their own hometown.
I know.
There's a lot of pressure there.
Carl Hester, who's definitely our medal hero in Rotterdam, who did very well individually, getting medals as well as winning team gold. And he's just got this wonder horse called Utopia, who, you know, people are saying he could be the next Totilas. He scored loads of tens in Rotterdam, and he is an impressive horse. So although the pressure is on for Carl to deliver the goods again, he's such an experienced rider, and he's been a huge part of British dressage for the last sort of 20 years or so. So I'm pretty confident that he can perform well again next summer.
Well, and you guys also, show jumping hasn't been too bad either.
No, not at all. I mean, again, Britain used to dominate in the sport in the sort of 60s, and we've had a rough few decades where we haven't always been in with a good chance of winning a medal. So we went out to the Europeans with a strong team. You know, we had experienced riders like Nick Skelton and John Whittaker, and then two newer team members, like Ben Mayer and Guy Williams, who, you know, just haven't been on the team quite as long as the other two. And they had a bit of a surprise twist in both the team and the individual competitions when it looked like they were going to finish fourth, so just frustratingly out of the medals. And then things just went a little bit amiss for the Dutch riders, and both the team and the individuals, Britain stepped up to claim a bronze medal. So very exciting.
Well, you guys have to be so excited. I mean, the combination of dressage doing so well, show jumping really improving over there, and then eventing, you've always been good in eventing, to really having those three things coming together at the time of the Olympics being held in Britain, you just have to be very excited about all of this.
Oh, definitely. It's just brilliant for our sport. And, I mean, in eventing, we've always been favourites and we've always done very well historically. And things didn't go quite as well as it could have done at the Europeans. So we still finished with a team bronze, which was excellent. And I tell you, in the other sport that I was really delighted with is the para equestrians, who went to their Europeans. And I think the maximum amount of medals they could win was something like they could have won 9 gold and 2 silvers. That was the absolute best they could have physically done. And they won 8 golds and 3 silvers. So, I mean, just our para riders did brilliantly. And that's really exciting as well, looking ahead to the Paralympics.
And, of course, they did terrific when they came over here last year at this time, actually, for the World Equestrian Games here in Lexington. They did terrific over here as well.
Yeah, definitely. You've got such a strong para squad, and it's just really pleasing and to see our riders do so well.
Well, I wanted to ask you, too, and I know I want to ask you about a new series you have coming out called Getting to Green. Is it Greenwich or Greenwich?
Greenwich.
I want to ask you about that in a minute, but before we get off of the Olympics, what's it like? Do you live in London? Are you in London?
I do, and you know, I live opposite Greenwich, opposite the river. I can see it from my house. So I'm very excited about Greenwich being used for the equestrian events because it's so near.
I know what the mood was for the World Equestrian Games here in the lead up and the 2 years leading up to it here in Lexington. What's the mood for you guys have the Olympics, all the sports, the Summer Olympics coming to London next year about this time. So what's the lead up, or what's going on, and how are the locals feeling about it? Is the place a mess? You know, what's the story?
There's been some controversy about Greenwich being chosen as the Olympic venue for equestrianism, basically because people wanted a site that would be around for years to come and kind of form a centre of excellence, whereas Greenwich, by its nature, is a public park, and the people who live in Greenwich aren't really used to hundreds of horses and riders descending on it and galloping around their park. So there's been a little bit of kind of discussion in the horse world about whether it should have been out of London, and there's been some feeling from locals that it's going to cause too much of a disturbance. But I went down to the test event a few months back, and it's just such a superb venue, and the pictures that are going to come out of the games, I think, will end up being some of the most iconic photographs in the whole of the Olympics. You know, you've got Canary Wharf, which is the city financial district, is in the background of all these amazing equestrian photos, and you can see the entire of London spread out behind, and it's such a beautiful venue. And one of the best things about the test event was lots of school children got to go along and watch, and they were so excited to see horses and riders, and they were so fascinated by it, and they were all whooping and cheering, and I do think it might not leave a lasting sight, but it is going to leave a legacy, and that hopefully it will introduce people to our sport that have never really encountered equestrianism before.
Yeah, that is one of the positives of having it in the city like that. Sydney has their big, I think it's a 4-star event every year, right in the middle of the city at the park, and it does that. It's been proven to do that. It brings people out who would never, ever see a horse in that situation. They get to watch it and see it, and I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, what better to do that than the Olympics? So tell us about getting to Greenwich.
It's going to follow some of our Olympic hopes in all of the Olympic disciplines, so show jumping, dressage, eventing, plus para-equestrianism. And we're going to feature one, you know, more established team member and one who is perhaps a bit newer to being potentially selected for the team. We're going to be finding out a bit more about them and their horses and their preparations for 2012. So it's set to be a very exciting series, and we're really, really delighted to be showing it on Horse and Country.
Well, that's great. We did a series similar to that with the lead up on the World Equestrian Games radio show. We sort of had a spotlight rider series where we spotlighted a different rider in each of the disciplines. And that was kind of cool because you really got to know them like you wouldn't have gotten to know them otherwise. So it sounds like what you're trying to accomplish here with this. That's terrific.
Definitely. Just get to know the people behind, you know, behind all the different sports, and hopefully build some excitement in the lead up to 2012.
And then you also have a Horse of the Year show coming up.
We do, yes, one of the most famous shows in the world, and it's in Birmingham, and it features, you know, showing championships, international show jumping, and they have a competition called Express Eventing as well. So it's very exciting, and myself and Jenny, who's the Horse and Country presenter, are going to be there all week catching up with what's going on, and hopefully getting to watch quite a bit of the action.
You know, there's a lot of work in being somebody in the media, but boy, there's some fun too, and it's when you get to cover shows like that.
Definitely. It's set to be such a fun week, and it's actually a show I haven't been able to go to as a spectator, so I'm really excited to be there for the entire thing from beginning to end this year.
And it sounds like you're going to be able to watch the horse part of the Olympics right out of your window in your flat. So
I might have to stand
well
on the roof. I think
okay,
that's going to be my technique, because I don't have tickets, sadly. I miss, that was one thing with the Olympics, is the ballot was so popular, and equestrianism was one of the first sports to fill up, basically. And so there's been quite a lot of disappointed people who haven't got equestrian tickets, myself included. And press passes are like gold dust here, so I haven't managed to land one yet, but I'm hoping some miracle happens. Otherwise, I'm going to be standing on my roof for the entire of August with a pair of binoculars.
Well, you know what? We could invite some of our listeners, too. You could make money, just charge them to stand on the roof with you. Or have them bring the beer, one or the other.
Definitely. That sounds like a very good plan.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria. You did great.
Oh, thank you.
Good report. We appreciate it. Sorry about the hassle and getting, we'll try and work something better out for next week in solving the call problem here from England. But thank you so much. That's horseandcountry.tv, and there are videos that relate to everything we talked about today. There's a ton of videos on their site. You have to stop by and check it out. It's a site that's well worth visiting. And welcome to the Horse and Country TV family, and we're looking forward to talking to you every week.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye, Vic. All right. That's it for today. Jamie had to run in the middle of that interview. She bugged out. Her footing showed up for her arena finally, which she's been anxiously awaiting for at her new place. So she had to run out and make sure he dumped it in the right field. So she is doing that right now. So for everybody, for Jennifer and I and Jamie, we thank you for listening today. We appreciate you being here every day, whether you listen recorded or not. And, of course, you can listen recorded at horsesinthemorning.com or on iTunes. Don't forget, you can just search for Horses in the Morning on iTunes. You can subscribe on the podcast version of the iTunes player, and it'll be automatically downloaded to your iPod or your MP3 player. And you can listen to us while cleaning your barn or training your horses or driving. Wherever you listen, we appreciate you being here. That's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with another new guest and a whole lot of fun. That's it. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jamie. We'll see you at Steelers, everyone.
That means you're really badass. Jennifer, that horse